Hey, it's Devin Nash. We have got to talk about Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard. This is some of the biggest news ever to happen in gaming, and I wanted to create a video to make a very simple breakdown of everything that kind of matters about this and what to understand about the acquisition and where Microsoft and Blizzard are going as a result. So I think the easiest way to actually do this is just to read the press release and address every concern within it and kind of like expand on the decision-making of what happened here. All right, so 3 billion people playing games. We are going to announce that we're acquiring Activision Blizzard, a leader in game development and interactive entertainment. Great. The acquisition will accelerate the growth of Microsoft's game business across mobile, PC, and console and cloud, and provide building blocks for the metaverse. So I thought it was really interesting that they said the word metaverse here, and they used that particular phrase that Facebook kind of has coined. And it's obviously catching on. The metaverse is like this place where people believe that everyone is going to kind of interact and play together and share together on these platforms. So Microsoft will acquire Blizzard for $95 a share in all cash transaction value to $68.7 billion. So that's pretty crazy, right? If you look at the current price of ATVI, it closed, I think, today at $82. So you might say, well, why is it that Activision isn't $95? Like Microsoft is buying the shares for $95. So that means that Microsoft feasibly believes that they can bring the share price to at least $95, right? With what they're adding to the business by buying it. So you would think that investors would reflect that. And indeed it did. The share price ended up going up 25%, which is a pretty incredible amount, but it didn't reach $95. So the difference you see between the $82 and the $95 is the investor confidence that this deal will go through, basically, right? And a couple of other things we're going to talk about. So $82 to $95, that difference is basically them believing if this deal is going to go through because it's actually quite a long time to close, which we'll talk about in a second. So all cash basically means they just bought it. That's the best way to buy a company. They just bought it. And they're doing Blizzard and King Studios like Warcraft, Diablo, Overwatch, Call of Duty, and Candy Crush in addition to global esports through Major League Gaming. And the company has studios around the world with nearly 10,000 employees. So let's talk about like revenue and the reasons they acquired for. I see a lot of people saying like maybe Call of Duty League had something to do with this, maybe Overwatch League or like Warcraft or Diablo. So these are really small parts of the total like Activision franchise. What Activision is really killing it on right now is their mobile gaming. Activision basically dominates mobile, and mobile gaming accounts for most of the revenue that Activision makes. So right, it's about $2.2 billion at the end of 2019. Or 34% of the total revenue. It only went up since then. I recall reading their S1, and I can't remember like exactly how much they were making off it, but it's a ton. So Call of Duty also is a really great seller, and that's going to be a big one too. But in the face of that, like, you know, Overwatch and these other kind of brands don't really matter. The esports side of it, like Call of Duty and like COD League and like Owl League, those are not considered at all in this acquisition. I'd be surprised if they ever came up in the talk. I said years ago that they were basically failing enterprises. It ended up being that, of course. I mean, they're basically money sinks. So they're really looking at like the mobile play here. If you take anything away from like this acquisition, you want to look at King, because the Xbox's ability to syndicate via Game Pass all of the games that Blizzard has, as well as like their mobile division, is like the real story here. Okay, so Bobby Kotick will continue to serve as CEO of Activision Blizzard, and he and his team will maintain their focus on driving efforts to strengthen the company's culture and accelerate business growth. So this surprised a lot of people. A lot of people might have thought that because of the controversy with Bobby Kotick, if you haven't heard, he's kind of recently gone. He's been at the head of like a bunch of harassment claims and a bunch of problems with Activision Blizzard. There's been walkouts in the company. It's just been an entire mess. Bobby Kotick for a really long time has been implicated in these claims. And people might be wondering, well, why didn't Microsoft immediately kick him out or what's going on there? So the whole problem with Activision has always been that Bobby Kotick has had a lot of control over Activision and the board and him as CEO. It's really, really hard to remove him. And a lot of people have been linking this like super interesting image I'm going to go try to find right now that I had up, but I lost it, I think, because I'm one of those people that has like 2 billion tabs. So I got to go find this. So people are looking at this and they're seeing that on a change of control, which means like the company changes over, Bobby Kotick is entitled to like $292 million. So this is just like his contract with Activision Blizzard, that when you're an executive, your employee contract at a company is going to protect you aggressively, especially if you have like a lot of control within that company. So it's the reason why Bobby Kotick basically got to decide if he wants to leave or not, even under all the controversy, was just because of the contract and the employment that he terms that he has with Activision Blizzard and the control he has over the board, either subjectively or objectively, right? So termination by Activision Blizzard for cause means that Activision Blizzard can basically terminate for some egregious offense that the Bobby Kotick has done. Now, for cause is actually defined in every contract differently. I haven't read Bobby Kotick's like employment contract, or I don't even know if that's public, but my guess would be that for cause is in some like extreme like embezzlement or felonies or whatever, because apparently like harassment and implications of that sort of stuff wasn't enough to justify for cause, or wasn't enough for the board to act. So most likely Kotick feels very well protected by these two things. He's probably going to walk with, you know, either $265 million or $292 million. So people are wondering, well, Microsoft is buying the company, like, can't they change things within it? Well, no, not necessarily, right? Because they're buying the company under the auspice of the previous contracts, and they're absorbing those contracts, all the employee contracts and all the agreements that were in that company before. My guess is that they would not have even been able to buy this company without Kotick signing off. He just has that level of control over Activision Blizzard. So they most likely had to acquiesce to whatever he wanted, more or less, in order to kind of even get this sold, right? And when it seems like a lot of money here, this like $300 million, but when you're dealing with like $2.2 billion in mobile revenue alone, it's not a big deal to pay this guy off to get him out. Like even assuming that Microsoft even wants to do that. These days, the loudness of cancel culture is so much more than its actual impact on share prices or whatever. I actually think that Activision was an exception to that, because the stock basically dropped like 37% over the course of the past few months, and I think this is a good example of like an appropriate outcry for something that like has like some pretty solid claims coming at Activision and Bobby Kotick himself. Unfortunately, I just don't think it has the staying power when we're thinking about deals that, you know, like that are $70 billion. Like that's half of Twitter's market. Twitter, you could have bought Twitter for half that. Like it's just so crazy how we have things like Twitter that can't justify a profit, and then you buy something like $70 billion in Activision Blizzard just because of the money that they're making. Like when you're dealing with stuff like that, Bobby Kotick is like, you know, a small fry. You're looking at him as a person you've got to work around in order to acquire the company, right? And so you're going to make concessions and based on his contract and what he's asking for and the control he has over the board. Because if he doesn't sell you being Microsoft, you know, a $1 trillion most profitable company on earth, if he doesn't sell you that, then you're out a lot more opportunity and money. So you may look at Bobby Kotick as just a guy that you want to solve a problem for, to get him out of the company. Or maybe you want to keep him on because you just don't care about the PR, whatever, right? It's about the profits at the end, and business is business, baby. So that's like what's going on. So if people are wondering like why Microsoft hasn't taken action or even levying some kind of claim that like Microsoft is implicit in this, they really have no control over it. Like Bobby Kotick like had a contract in terms with the company long before Microsoft got involved. And those terms are enforceable on the acquisition of a company. And if you're any measure of a CEO or executive, is always going to have change of control stipulations in their contracts, right? Like when we sold CLG, we absolutely had that. So there's always going to be executives that have a lot of as much control as they possibly can over acquisitions. Like when you bring Activision Blizzard was already a merger, right? Activision bought Blizzard a long time ago. So when you buy a company like that, you already have like those stipulations in place for when you sell the company again. Okay, so gaming is the most dynamic and exciting category in entertainment across all platforms. We'll play a key role in the development of metaverse platforms. There's that word again. I can't tell you how much I have realized in like running a creative agency, how much like this means to like larger companies. And I truly personally believe that like metaverse as a concept is the future, and like the Facebook and like Microsoft are all, and Amazon, and well, not Amazon because they're shopping though, sorry, Facebook, Google, everybody that owns social media platforms will all be like vying for control of like of the metaverse space. And when I say metaverse, what I'm saying is I'm saying like the overall way that you interact with the new web, including in VR and AR, is going to be a really big deal. We're investing deeply in world-class content, community, and cloud to usher in a new era of gaming that puts creators first and makes gaming safe, inclusive, and accessible to all. So I think this statement here for safe and inclusive and accessible to all is Microsoft's way of acknowledging the difficulty of the past several months with the accusations towards Activision. And they're basically inadvertently saying, look, we're going to be a part of fixing this. That's how I take that, right? Is like, they can't outright come out and tell you, like, we're aware of the problems at Activision and we intend to fix it. But you're going to see this sort of inclusiveness and accessibility message everywhere, which is kind of implying that, like, Microsoft is aware of the problem. Bobby Kotick is going to get under the leash of Phil Spencer, and like in time this problem will be solved. Now I'm going to talk about some problems with that, but that's kind of the gist of like that. At least that's kind of how I think about it. Okay, so here's some stuff from Phil Spencer. Great, some more stuff here. Mobile is the largest segment of gaming, with nearly 95% of all players globally enjoying games on mobile. Microsoft Activision will power players to immersive franchises like Halo and Warcraft virtually anywhere they want. Games like Candy Crush, Activision Blizzard's mobile business represents a significant presence and opportunity for Microsoft. So you're kind of seeing that, like, mobile is here to stay. I know that's to the great dismay of the many PC gamers like myself listening to this video, but yes, mobile is, like, the huge reason why they bought the company. That's reinforced right here. And you probably are going to see mobile versions of Warcraft and all kinds of other BS over the next couple of years, just kind of part of it. The other big part of this is Game Pass, which has 25 million subscribers. That's a staggering amount of people. Honestly, that actually surprised me so much that Game Pass has 25 million subscribers. There's so many people. And that's going to be a really big part of why they acquired this, because Activision Blizzard has a lot of monthly active users and in tons of countries. And so putting them on Game Pass just increases the likelihood that people are going to subscribe and add value to that service. So that's a very big deal. The deal is expected to close in fiscal year 2023. And will be accredited to non-GAAP earnings per share per close. So that's really important. The deal is expected to close in fiscal year 2023. And then if we go look over at Xbox themselves that announced this, there is a really, really important announcement by Phil Spencer here. And he said, until this transaction closes, Activision Blizzard and Microsoft Gaming will continue to operate independently. Once this deal is complete, Activision Blizzard business will report to me, CEO Microsoft Gaming. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about that, because a lot of people are saying, okay, Microsoft just absorbed all of Activision's problems, or Microsoft has to solve all these problems with Activision or whatever. They don't, right? Basically, these two businesses are operating completely. First of all, so a lot has to happen between a deal, like the two boards deciding that they're going to sign and ink a deal, which is what happened. So these announcements are the boards of directors of Activision and the board of directors of Microsoft have both signed a deal saying, we are going to acquire this company. This is going to happen. Now it's got to go to the SEC, right? So the United States government looks at every deal, $92 million or more, and says, okay, is this a antitrust violation? Are there any problems with this deal? Are we going to make you sell off some franchises? And my personal opinion on that is there's going to be some people that are saying, okay, well, what about antitrust? Will this make Microsoft a monopoly? Because they own too much of, I don't think so. And the reason I don't think that is because Microsoft will probably make the case that this is a gaming industry acquisition, and gaming is pretty diversified. You've got Take-Two, you've got Google in there, you've got all kinds of like big companies that are doing stuff in that space. So I don't think that Microsoft acquiring Activision Blizzard is in of itself like a monopolistic move. As far as the government is concerned, now that you never know, it could really go either way. And again, the share price differential, right, is in part the belief that this deal isn't even going to close till the end of 2023, at the earliest. So 2 years is a long time. Two years is a long time. What could happen? You got to go through all the way through 2022. You've got to go all the way through 2023. So that's a long time for a lot of stuff to happen. But more importantly, Microsoft doesn't have to absorb a lot of the problems that are happening at Activision Blizzard right now, because the acquisition and the control and the management via Microsoft is not even going to happen until these deals get approved. Then you also have to consider these deals got to get approved in Europe. It's got to get approved in Asia. So there's just tons of stuff that has to happen before this deal closes. And there's going to be a lot of talk over the next couple of days that that's just telling you that like Microsoft is going to change things at Blizzard or Activision, but you, the consumer, are not going to see anything different happen for 2 years at a minimum. And that's if there are no problems with the regulatory reviews that have to happen, or the shareholders approving, in Activision's case, which they have no reason not to. But you can just see there's a ton of like hiccups and problems that could happen here. And the most important thing to take away from this video, I think, is that nothing will really happen here until 2023. So all the news you're seeing, that it was like one of the reasons I really make these videos, is because all the news you're seeing is wrong, saying that like Microsoft is going to have some huge impact over Activision and is going to address all these concerns with Bobby Kotick. They won't. Like, all this stuff is going to stay the same for 2 years, at least. And then there's going to be a merger and acquisition. And whenever M&A happens, my experience has been that companies operate slower, not faster. Like, there's a lot of people saying that, like, oh, like, maybe this means we're going to see StarCraft 3, or maybe we're going to see, like, you know, Owl League improve. Like, Owl League is going to be long gone before this acquisition comes through, I'm sorry to say, okay? And as for Blizzard, and my own personal opinion, but just putting on my own hat here about what I think, I have zero confidence in Blizzard as a company to make great games at this point. I mean, I have lived through Warcraft 3 Remastered, Diablo 2 Refunded, and I just don't believe they can make a good game, damn it. They're regurgitating Call of Duty games. I would consider their mobile games as declining IPs. They have an incredible amount of users, but there are other mobile games that are really pushing the needle. And I just don't really believe it. I mean, their revenue is going up, right? Like, you just look at their public records. Their revenue is going up, and it's going to continue to go up. But in terms of, like, will these guys dominate the gaming industry? Will something like Diablo 4, which will assuredly be, like, a triple AAA release, but will really compete with, like, the mobile revenue? No, I don't think so. I don't think that Blizzard makes good games. I think their management and the corporate culture, the difficulty of operating there right now is too much, and there are other studios that are just doing a way better job of taking those problems on. You've got Take-Two, like I mentioned before. You got Riot. You've got a lot of people doing some really cool projects that are announcing a lot of new stuff, and they're diversifying. They're diversifying rapidly. Like, Riot's in music. Riot's in multiple different game genres now. Blizzard's last unique IP was Overwatch, and look how that's doing, right? Like, and we want to talk about esports. Let's talk about esports for a minute. There's no way that esports is going to be a successful revenue vertical. It hasn't been a successful revenue vertical for anybody, right? It's just been a loss leader for every single person. Debatably Riot Games, but I mean, they're kind of like using it as a means of selling MTX in their games, more or less, is like, I kind of view, at least from a purely marketing, like, financial, like, ROI perspective, I see like Riot's investment in esports is like a purely a marketing move to like pull more people onto the game and buy stuff, which has been really successful. But that's not to say that like esports as a standalone thing is making money off of sponsorships or advertisements or whatever. Nobody would say that at a team level or at a company level. So OWL has been an absolute money vampire, and so has Call of Duty League. And the confidence of people within Call of Duty League and Overwatch League is just at an all-time low. I would have to do separate videos to talk about the esports scene in both of these places or what's left of it. You know, and I fully expect that to be like, then it's not going to change, A. And then B, in 2 years, I mean, both of those will be just like completely irrelevant. So the real story here is Activision Blizzard getting acquired for their mobile division, and the games and IPs that they already own moving over to Microsoft Game Pass. And then the other story here is really just the kind of like preeminent dominance of Microsoft coming around. They own 30 studios now, 30 gaming studios, right? They made all kinds of cool stuff like Age of Empires 4. They're going to be a contender going forward. And I mean, I think the real story here is about like how Microsoft is just kind of killing it. I have a lot of faith in Microsoft, but zero faith in Activision Blizzard to do anything useful. So my hope here is that I just kind of give a brief overview on some of the like stuff to consider about this acquisition. I like to make these videos kind of a good opportunity to just like get a quick overview. I know 20 minutes isn't really quick, but like a quicker overview on just like what's happening so that you can kind of be more informed about it and talk about it, as well as kind of explore some of the interesting stuff about this this. I think it's really interesting that they've used the metaverse, kept bringing that up. I think it's really, really interesting. I'm looking at that a lot. I think also the eventual way that Microsoft will integrate and develop games under the studio is really interesting as well. And it's good to pay attention to, but nothing we have to worry about until, you know, mid-2023 or 2024 when stuff actually starts to change. And before then, we still got 2 more years of Activision Blizzard, so that'll be fun. Make plenty of YouTube videos about that. I'm sure all those problems will still remain, and I don't think Bobby Kotick is going anywhere, so... Yeah. All right. So that's the video. Hey, by the way, if you like this stuff, go to discord.gg/Devin. That's where I hang out and talk about a lot of the business stuff, especially before I make these videos. Like we had a whole talk about Activision Blizzard before I talked about this. You can also go to Patreon at patreon.com/DevinNash. I make videos specific to Patreon. I have like over 30 of them there now, just like teaching business and stuff. So if you like those, go check those out. And lastly, this video and all videos for the next couple of months are sponsored by StreamTunes, which is StreamTunes.com. It's actually a really great opportunity to skip DMCA. They have nothing to sell you, except it's just a totally free list of music that you can go to and listen to on Spotify or YouTube, wherever the hell you want. Great music, totally for free. And it's DMCA safe music for if you're a streamer or a content creator, make YouTube videos, stuff like that. Absolutely free opportunity. So hey, thanks for watching this video and looking forward to seeing you again next time. Bye.